Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
Good morning, I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. We're in-depth with a best book of 2016 at 10 o'clock. But first, at the beginning of an epic week in Washington, it's time for the Political Junkie. Welcome back, Ken. How are you? It's a big week for you.
It is, and congratulations on your new assignment.
Thank you. Very exciting. Thanks. I use the word epic for what's to come this week in Washington. Which adjective would you use?
Well, the fact that Donald Trump is being inaugurated president and the Chicago Cubs is coming to the White House as World Series champions, I think epic is the right word.
I did not pair the two, but I see where you're going with this.
Neither one could have been predicted ever.
The headline for your Political Junkie newsletter this week said, "The fun question mark begins." Why the question mark?
Well, because, I mean, here we are, you know, so this is supposed to be the time where Americans unite after a very contentious campaign. We've seen that in 2000. We saw that in 1968. We see it all the time after an election, especially right before a president is sworn in. Maybe the country will get together. Maybe the country will give the new president the benefit of the doubt. But here we saw, especially last week when you looked at Donald Trump's, the president-elect's press conference, where he's still attacking the media, still attacking Hillary Clinton, still mocking Lindsey Graham. Doesn't he know he needs every Senate vote he can get on confirmation
That's
hearings?
That's so weird.
He's still doing it.
Why is he doing this? Why?
I don't know. And then, of course, on the eve of the Dr. King holiday, that Twitter war, that battle with John Lewis.
Oh, my gosh.
Why do you do that? I mean, everybody says, well, he must be distracting us from something. But first of all, whenever he tweets, we just go ballistic and we talk about it, you know, ad nauseum until the next tweet. But of course, you know, right before that battle with John Lewis ensued, there was the Senate announced it was going to investigate the Trump connections with Russia, or the potential connections with Russia prior to the campaign. So everybody says, well, he must be trying to distract us from something. But whatever it is, it's nonstop. We're all out of breath. And every time the day is over or the tweeting war is over, we all feel like we need a shower.
I'm really glad you brought up Congressman Lewis, because I follow him on Twitter. And right now he is tweeting about, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King. He protested for us. He went to jail for us. He gave his life for us. We honor Dr. King's legacy through service to our community and adherence to the philosophy and discipline of nonviolence. I want to say Congressman Lewis is held in incredibly high esteem as well. And I just don't see the upside of the president-elect going after someone like that. It reminds me of what he was doing with John McCain in the war record.
Exactly. That's a perfect example, Kerry, because I thought the same exact thing. There was a great question. I think it was during one of the debates. I can't remember even if it was if the Republican primary or the general election. But he was asked, Donald Trump was asked about where he sacrificed and where he sacrificed in his life.
Right.
And Trump said, well, yes, I did sacrifice. I created many thousands of jobs, which I don't understand what that means. But when you think of sacrifice, you think of John McCain, you think of John Lewis.
Do you feel like, Ken, that the staff around him, he's going to have a chief of staff in Reince Priebus, you know, Kellyanne Conway as a strategist, that they've just basically said, let Trump be Trump. There's not much that we can do about this. And so we'll try to manage it on the back end. Are they trying to get him to stop doing this, do you think?
Well, they're backing him in spite of what Donald Trump is doing, and I'm not sure that's the case. When you look at the Kellyanne Conway's interviews, and I've seen a bunch of them over the last couple of days, both on late night comedian shows as well as the cable news shows, and she is just as combative as he. She just still says the same argument, whether truthful or not, as he. And when you combine Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon as being the key strategist behind the new president, I don't think they're all you know, rolling their eyes and saying, "Oh God, how can we stop this guy from destroying himself?" I think they feel it works. I think they feel that Trump voters do not, even though the if you look at the polls, he's getting a negative. More people are opposed to what his post-election pre-swearing-in behavior has been, which has never. I mean, I think Obama's numbers were like 80% in 2009,
right.
And this is 40% of something approval. It's just.
I mean, he's chipping. This is such a good point. He is chipping away at the goodwill that average Americans who maybe never voted for him but are willing to give him a chance would feel. I mean, he's damaging some of that goodwill, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not convinced anybody's mind has changed since the election. I think those who opposed him really say to themselves, now I know why I opposed him, because of behavior like this. And his supporters will say, this is exactly why I support him, because
he stands
up to the press.
But there's people in the middle there. I mean, as you know, there were people who thought, oh, give him a chance. Or there are some people since the election who said, I'm going to try to keep an open mind. I feel like he's damaging his potential relationship with them. No?
I do that, too. I think, yes, no, I agree with that completely. Mm-hmm. And I also thought of that when you think of the way that so many Republicans in Congress were dealing with him during the election. And it was almost like a real reluctance to get on board. But once the election was over, he said, okay, well, he still has an R after in his name. He's still one of us. But when he attacks the Lindsey Grahams, when he attacks the other Republican, I mean, you saw Marco Rubio taking on Rex Tillerson last week's confirmation hearings.
Yep.
And who knows what's going to happen this week with Betsy DeVos and Tom Price and other controversial cabinet nominees. So, you know, the Republicans, I mean, they just look at the way Donald Trump has been handling himself in the last couple of weeks, let alone the past 70 years, and saying, well, you know, something, it is what it is.
Ken Rudin, the political junkie with me. And if you have a question, a call for Ken, 651-227-6000. 800-242-2828. You can tweet me at @KerryMPR. Where Keith Ken wants to know, please predict the first cabinet secretary to fall to either firing or resignation. They haven't even been sworn in yet, but Keith wants to know who's going to fall.
Well, you know, I think that's a fun parlor game, and I enjoy that a lot. I think we should do that on the Political Junkie. I don't know. I think maybe as soon as Ben Carson finds out he's in the cabinet, he may just be so stunned that he may quit. But look, there are some people who don't look like they're going away anytime soon, and there are some people who may say that, you know, it's not worth it, or they have conflicts, or they have controversies that they can't get out of, But that's a great question. Look, I can't imagine Rex Tillerson selling all that stock of ExxonMobil to just walk away at the end, as controversial as he may be. So I suspect that somebody down the line, maybe, who knows, Scott Pruitt of Oklahoma, who's a climate change denier, who's going to be the head of the EPA. I mean, who knows? It's just... it's beyond.
It does kind of blow my mind, that EPA thing. Okay, a call here, Ken, from Cheryl in Eden Prairie. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi.
Hey.
When the administrations begin, like Clinton wanted the gays in the military, and I believe, didn't Obama propose that they tighten security leaks and vulnerability? And wasn't that voted down by Congress, which is now... criticizing him for the vulnerability for the Democratic.
For the DNC hacking. Okay. Ken?
I'm not sure about cutting money for that, but what did strike me is I believe the Republicans have now proposed cutting money for security on the embassies around the world by $50 billion. I mean, the whole argument about Benghazi was that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats left our embassies unprotected. And now coming into office, these Republicans are talking about just cutting billions of dollars from our protection. So there was so much Look. Barack Obama, one of the things he was elected on, he said that I hate the fact that George W. Bush was having all these executive actions, Barack Obama had plenty of his own executive actions. I hate the fact that so many people are being deported and for immigration violations, and Barack Obama has deported more people for immigration than anybody in history. So
right.
Things change when you get into the White House, as we've learned from all the presidents. I'm not convinced how much Donald Trump changes.
To the phones to Dennis in St. Joseph. Hi, Dennis.
Hi. I wanted to point out, that Mr. Lewis is the guy that was attacking Donald Trump about being not a legitimate president. And also, you people seem to be enjoying what's going on. And I think the American people enjoy hearing from what Donald Trump has to say on his tweets because he's talking to us. But everybody seems to be enjoying it, but you seem to have this thing about let's attack Donald Trump or let's have some more drive-by media or false news and see what's going on.
Yeah, Dennis, I want you to know that you just heard Ken talk about President Obama's immigration policy and deportation policy. I mean, we're going to talk about criticism and analyze that where we think it's needed, Trump, Obama, whoever. Ken, do you want to add something to that about what Congressman Lewis was saying?
Well, let me say one thing. I definitely disagree with Dennis. I am not enjoying this at all. I mean, I watched that. No, I'm really not.
You're not?
I mean, we're laughing here. Well, no, it's terrible what's happening. The fact is that, I mean, we know that how he feels about the news media, and the news media did itself no favors, especially BuzzFeed, by publishing that unsubstantiated stuff that supposedly came from Russia, which may have not have come at all. But the thing is, when you have the news media focusing on things that may not be real, forget about the fake news thing, but if it may not be real, then one of these days when real substantial arguments against Donald Trump come up, nobody's going to believe. So the media that cried wolf, they're not going to believe them because they printed unsubstantiated stuff in the past. So who knows if this stuff is real? And I think when I watched the press conference, as much as I didn't like Trump's attacks on Lindsey Graham, on Hillary Clinton, on the intelligence agencies, on the news media, at the same time, the media does itself very little favor when it publishes things that may not be true.
Ken, I want to say this. Enjoying is probably not the right word for the way I feel about this. But I am going to say to Dennis that I feel like I know the trust in the news media is at low levels. But
16%.
But I'm also going to say I feel like this has spurred the media to some of the best investigative work and best analytical work it's been doing. And I think that's important. So if that's one of the consequences of this very different way that Donald Trump is going to come into office and some of the things he's saying, I think that's a good thing. And I think it makes what we're doing all the more important. So enjoying isn't the right word, but I think this makes what we're doing pretty essential, whether news consumers want to believe that or not. And I'm sure I'll hear from a lot of them.
Well, that PS you just had at the end is very, very important, because I've had a lot of conversations with people like Dennis over the last couple of days, and I'll say, well, what about his treatment of women? And they'll say, well, what about Bill Clinton? And I'll say, what about the pay for play with the Trump family and the Trump Foundation? They'll say, well, what about the Clinton Foundation? So they
right.
They do. I mean, so these are the people who voted for Donald Trump. They said that politics as usual was not working, that Hillary was corrupt, and the Obamas were corrupt, and the media are corrupt. And so when you try to point out the same, I mean, obviously we know about Hillary Clinton and Obama and the media because the media have been doing its job. So if we've been fairly criticizing everybody else all these times, why is criticism of Donald Trump out of bounds?
But I
think that's the thing that Dennis misses.
Yes, I agree. I don't think the way we work, I think we have to be aware of constructive criticism when it's out there, but I don't think the way we work should really be influenced by the low level of trust. Maybe I think we have to be aware of it. But I think this work that's going on right now with this investigative stuff on all sides is so essential.
Absolutely. We have to be vigilant. And if 48% of the country which voted for Donald Trump, if they still don't trust the media, that may not be, you're absolutely right, that's not what we should be focusing on. We should be focusing on being vigilant, finding the truth, and leading it to wherever it were, following it to wherever it leads.
Tim asks here, Trump's popularity has tanked since the election, just as you noted, Ken. Does this give Republican Congress reason to disagree with him?
Well, let's see. I mean, again, let's see if Marco Rubio, who's been talking tough on Rex Tillerson, let's see if he votes against one of the nominees. Let's see if McCain and Lindsey Graham vote against one of the some of the, you know, all you need are three Republicans. If all the Democrats are united against the cabinet appointees, you only need three Republicans. So, look, I don't think they should oppose Trump just for the sake of opposing him. But he alienated so many Republicans during the campaign. The mocking of the Jeb Bushes and the Marco Rubios and the Ted Cruzes and John Kasichs and everybody else. Some of them are still in Congress. Some of them still play a key role. But at the same time, they also know that if they turn out to be a Trump critic, they know that they could be very subject to a primary challenge in 2018 from Trump loyalists who feel that they're not being fair.
And John McCain knows what that's all about, right? Because he had a Tea Party challenger last time.
He did, and he got less than 50% of the vote in the primary.
Phone call here from Susan in Rochester. Hi, Susan. What'd you want to say?
Yes, hi there, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My comment is, I cannot, like, why do we continue to let Trump get away with this stuff? There are voices out there. There are people that the news media, for example, he is trying to suppress free press.
Wait a minute, Susan, when you say get away with, what do you mean? I don't think
that he's done.
Well, I think his tweets are reported on. There, just as I said, there's this terrific investigative work going on.
Yeah.
I think what Susan is saying is that why is he still getting away with it? Why is he still winning? We are reporting everything he's saying. I don't think we're sitting back and ignoring it, but he just says it and there seems to be no consequences. Susan, I don't want to mean to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like that your frustration is that he's still doing it and getting away with it.
Stacey.
Exactly. And there doesn't seem to, even his own party, you know, they're feeding at the trough, so to speak. They will not even hold him accountable, with the exception of John Cain periodically.
Yeah, well, we'll see, because it's early days now. So let's let him get in office and see what happens and be critical and, as Ken says, vigilant. Stacey says here on Twitter, I like the political junkie. But Trump didn't get 48% of the vote. He got 46.2%. Hillary got 48%.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I was saying was that he did get 2.9 million votes fewer than Hillary Clinton, the largest amount of difference for a losing candidate in history. And yeah, but again, is he legitimate? Look, that's the argument about John Lewis. I mean, you could say, well, did the Russians influence the election? Perhaps. Did they try to influence the election? Definitely. But is he legitimate? Look, all I know is that on noon on Friday, on Eastern time, he will be sworn in as the 45th president. And I think to be fighting about 2016, that argument seems to be over already. Now, the argument should be keeping vigilant for 2017.
Ken, I almost forgot about the mystery sound, your favorite part of our exchanges here. So, but I think this is a good one because it focuses in on a big issue that's right in front of Congress right now. So listen.
If you want to improve the Affordable Care Act, let's work together. But if you think you're simply going to throw millions off of health insurance, you got another guess coming.
Who is that man?
That's that Brooklyn accent from Vermont.
That's right.
That was Patrick Leahy. No, of course, that's Bernie Sanders,
yeah.
Who is hoping to be the progressive voice in the Trump administration. But look, that shows another dilemma, and I think we've talked about this on your show before, that Republicans have been talking since 2010, repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, and they know that once they got in power, they were going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. But what do you replace
where's
it with?
Where's the plan?
And
I find this so interesting, Ken, because Trump's answer on that was in the same hour, at least in the same day, we will replace it. I mean, Republicans have nothing at the moment.
Right now, he's talking about insurance for everybody, and we're going to get all the drug companies to have lower prices. But there is not one plan. We're going to look at Tom Price, the HHW nominee. He may be the Republican voice on that issue, but right now there's no one voice on what to replace it with.
You can catch The Junkie and my conversations on our podcast. And Ken, next week I will talk to you at the beginning of our 9 o'clock hour, and I'm looking forward to it.
And congratulations again on becoming a national sensation.
Well, sensation, who knows? Thanks, Ken. Good to chat.
Thank you.